Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Yep, Andrew Little is back on the show this week. He was in Sweden last week, but he's back in New Zealand. This morning I spoke to the minister about our family justice system and why he has called it a mess. Plus, as Cantabrians continue to fight for support following the Christchurch earthquake 8 years ago, how will this government fulfil one of its election promises to help those people out? Strap yourselves in. It's a bit of a long one today, but this is Andrew Little. Have a listen. Good morning, Minister. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Now, firstly, I want to talk about the family court system. This week you've called the family justice system a mess. Why is it a mess?
Well, there were a set of changes made in 2014 that was largely about cutting the cost of legal aid and you know, legal assistance to people who were needing the family court services. What that's meant is that in order to, people don't get access to a lawyer list at the first instance. They've got to make their application. But for a lot of people who just consider they need a lawyer, because look, when you're going through a family separation, it is a very stressful and distressing time. People are making what they call without notice applications, which means you get straight to the court. And if you make a without notice application, you're entitled to claim legal aid for a lawyer straight away. So before those 2014 reforms, roughly 30% of claims that went to the court were what we call without notice applications. That's now up to 70%, and it just indicates that people are doing whatever they can to make sure they get the support and assistance they need to navigate the family justice services. That's pretty obvious. And so actually now, the whole court has got bogged down. There's delays. It's costing as much as it ever did. And all it's doing is causing a lot more stress on people. For children, they are waiting a hell of a lot longer to get their care arrangements sorted out when parents can't agree. And that has its own sort of cost, as a social cost amongst other things as well. So we've had it reviewed. The panel reported last weekend. They've come up with a set of ideas. It kind of goes beyond just what happened in 2014. But it's about seeing the family court as a place where it's flexible and agile enough to deal with, you know, the different people who turn up there, obviously more cultural sensitivity, and actually focus on resolving problems in as least an adversarial way as possible.
So what are you going to do about it? You're going to implement the recommendations? Is there a sort of timeline in progress for that? Is there any indication about what's actually going to change in the family justice system?
Look, there's definitely a commitment to make change. Obviously, with a report like this, with 70 recommendations and some, you know, reasonably extensive, I mean, a lot of it's about really a culture change for the family court. So the government will now consider that. The Ministry of Justice is now looking through those recommendations. They'll report to me. Look, that'll be a few months for them to pull that together and work out what the financial implications are. And then for that to be negotiated with the Minister of Finance. But look, we are committed to making change. I think most MPs know that what we've got at the moment in our family court isn't working. It can be a lot better. It's an important institution that we have to deal with disputes in, you know, a very sensitive part of people's lives. So we need to have good, effective family justice services. And I expect to announce some changes either late this year or early next year.
But when you say there's 70 recommendations, you won't be committing to all 70?
Well, no, because, look, we need to do, from the government's point of view, we need to do our homework on them. This was an independent panel that considered the issues. They did pretty extensive consultation, I think, over 100 meetings in 15 different towns and cities. Spoke to a lot of people, got written submissions. So that they've been very comprehensive in how they've gathered their views. The things that stand out to me, the two things that stand out to me most in their recommendations are first the recommendations about children and children's voice. And we actually have an obligation under the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child to ensure that where any state institution is involved, dealing with children and what happens with them, there's got to be a way of making sure we hear from children. And in many cases, independently of their parents. We don't do that very well. We've got to lift that. The other one is the fact that, as it was described by the panel, our family court is very monocultural. We use a very European model to deal with family separation and family disputes. We're a you know, we're a multicultural country. We've large Maori population, larger Indian and Chinese population. The family court needs to show a bit of diversity and a bit of cultural sensitivity when it is dealing with family issues from families of different cultures, and I think that's an area where we can make a big difference.
In the last week, there's been a lot of focus on Oranga Tamariki, with that video being released of the attempted removal of a newborn child. Oranga Tamariki doing their own review, the Ombudsman's conducting a review, and the Children's Commissioner is also conducting a review. Why so many reviews? Why not just a parliamentary inquiry or something like that into what's gone on?
Yeah, look, Oranga Tamariki and its predecessor, the Ministry of Child, Youth and Family, and it's probably one of the most reviewed departments of government ever. And, you know, mostly it follows either a death of child who's under the supervision of the state services, either in their family or in a state institution. In this case, you've got what Oranga Tamariki trying to stage an intervention to, you know, from what they would see as saving it from a risk or a threat of harm. That's prompting its own reviews. I think the, you know, the reality is we have a deeply shameful record on protecting children from harm in this country. And even with the, you know, the state apparatus that we've had, it has, you know, it has failed some children. And I think the public debate about it is we want a lower threshold for Oranga Tamariki, as the agency that now deals with it, to intervene. But that has implications too. We also have, I think one of the other issues arising in the case in Hawke's Bay is when the family court, which makes the orders that Oranga Tamariki uses to make these uplifts, what is the information that the court has in front of it, and is it, you know, is it all the available information that the court should have? So I think that'll be part of the inquiry. These issues are incredibly challenging and incredibly fraught. And I don't know all the details in this particular case, and I don't want to be drawn on it. But I am on public record as saying, and I stand by it, that when it comes to the safety of children, I would rather there is a lower threshold to intervene in that. And even if that means upsetting parents and whānau, while we sort out what we do to make sure the child is safe, or reassure ourselves that the environment that a child is going into is safe. Because we've had too many incidents where we've thought things were okay, even though the state has been involved, and actually they haven't been, and children have lost their lives.
So are you satisfied with the way Oranga Tamariki handled this particular incident based on the footage that's been released?
I don't think the footage is the only relevant facts in the matter. I don't know all the facts. The nature of things that go before the family court is that they are confidential to preserve people's dignity and preserve confidentiality. So I make no judgment on what has happened in this case. Yes, it is very distressing when you watch the video. The midwives doing their best for their client. The whānau, you know, trying to stand up for themselves. But we don't know. The video didn't cover off what the risks or threats that the social worker saw to this child. So I make no judgment on it. What I do say is I think in terms of an approach to protect children from potential harm, then a lower threshold is justified.
So I respect that the family court obviously is confidential, so you don't. That's fair enough of not wanting to comment on it. But will you, if you found it distressing, are you going to be wanting to look more into this particular area as a representative of Parliament, or are you satisfied with the reviews that are going on by the different organisations?
Well, you've got. I mean, the Children's Commissioner is an independent agency, independent of ministers and of other government departments. You've got the Ombudsman. Is the ultimate when it comes to, you know, check and balance on the exercise of state power by state agencies. So that is two very powerful independent inquiries, and you've got Oranga Tamariki doing their own. I mean, the thing for Oranga Tamariki is they've been undergoing significant change. And, you know, to their credit, started under the previous government, continued by Tracy Martin as she's been minister. And as ministers, I'm on a committee of ministers that have been kept briefed on the sort of organisational changes and practice changes that they've been making, all due to kind of kick off in a few weeks' time. So there is a fair amount of that. But when an incident like this happens, as we've seen, and generates the kind of level of public concern that it has, it is right that there is a review and an inquiry. And look, let's see what that comes up with. But as a general principle, as a country, we have to do better when it comes to child safety and the safety of children in homes and with families. And in order to do that, that will mean intervening, and intervening does mean you end up causing upset and sometimes distress. But if the priority is to make sure children who are powerless, who are vulnerable, who frequently have no voice even in their own family, then if this is what it takes to protect more children and save more children from perilous situations, then I think that is justified.
Very quickly, a new Canterbury Earthquake Tribunal will be a circuit breaker for those who have struggled with insurance claims following the 2011 earthquake. When you're down in Christchurch speaking to people, do you get the impression, do those people think that your government is delivering for them?
Well, we promised that we would have in place an outfit dedicated to resolving as many of the outstanding claims as possible, because they, a lot of claims that are bogged down in the traditional courts, and the problem is it's expensive, and people kind of run out of money, and they say, look, we'll just put this on hold until I can get a bit more money, pay my lawyer, get my experts and what have you. And what it means is that the thing never gets resolved, and people simply aren't able to move on with their lives. People are still living in damaged homes, or they've had homes that have been repaired, but the repairs have been substandard, and they haven't been able to put the events behind them. This tribunal, the aim of it is to cut through all that. So it doesn't cost to get access to it. You don't have to pay a filing fee. You don't even have to have a lawyer, but you can if you want to. And if there's a clash of expert advice between the insurance company and you as the insured party, the tribunal will bring along its own expert advice to cut through all that, and then work with the parties to either mediate and reach an agreement, or if that's not possible, to make a determination. That is subject to an appeal, but the tribunal will have the power to make a decision. And that's what people say they've been looking for. Look, there's a couple of thousand outstanding claims left to go, but there's a lot of value tied up in that, and it is about people's homes. And, 8 or 9 years on, we should have fixed these things by now.
But we're nearly 2 years into your government's term. Are these people going to have their situations resolved if we talk about this in a year's time, for example?
Well, we may not have 2,000 claims resolved in a year's time, but 2-3 years' time for sure. So we had, we've had to get the tribunal set up. We've got to pass the law to give it the powers to operate the way that it does. We've got some good people in the tribunal. The head of it is a former district court judge. He's got a background in insurance law and was dealing with insurance claims when he was a district court judge. So he brings a fair amount of grunt to it. We've also, last year, we trialled a dispute resolution process that is a combination of mediation and arbitration, if you like, or determination. That is the basis that this tribunal has been modelled on. So, look, we've put in the homework to do what we think is going to be most effective for Canterbury residents who are still waiting to have their insurance claims resolved, and I'm confident that this will make good progress.
Minister, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Cheers, Stuart. See you then.
Bye. Cheers, bye. That was Minister Andrew Little. He will be hopefully back with us again next week.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.